being a part of both teams and being a starter on both of these teams last year and this year, well, 2 years ago and this past year, I can tell you that this is a different team this time around. Although the record doesn't reflect that, and I've said that a million times, I'll go to fight with this group any day of the week.
That's Kyle Long as we bring in Adam Hogue, live from Channel 9, where we'll do TV here in a few minutes. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Come here. I just want to give Adam a hug for getting through a bear season.
Yes.
There you go, buddy. All right, get off my lap.
Wait a minute, he was on the sideline for the bowl game, too, on Friday.
That wasn't easy either. That was not easy.
He had a rough weekend.
Yeah, last week wasn't very hard.
No lick for Adam.
And Mark Giangreco tried to lick his face. That's exactly right. All right, so let's start with those Bears. And, yeah, I totally agree. It feels better. It looks better. There's potential to be better. But, man, that's a weak end to the season. I don't know what that was.
Well, I mean, did you see the wide receivers that took the field at the beginning of the game? I mean, I actually went back and had to check the fourth preseason game, the one where they play all the people they're going to cut. And there were guys that started the game yesterday that weren't even starters in that game. They came off the bench.
So what is the explanation?
Well, guys are hurt. I mean, that's the story of the season. I really think yesterday was a microcosm of the season. John Fox said the same thing. I mean, they were banged up roster, depleted roster. They still go out there. They fight pretty hard. I mean, it's not like effort was an issue yesterday. And then they lose in a close game at home. And that's really how it's been all year. I think it's understandably painful for Bears fans to watch. But you listen to Kyle Long, you listen to everybody in that locker room, they tell you the same thing. They really do not think they're too far away. And I tend to agree with them. If they can have another offseason like they did last year, they're going to be in games again next year. And once they learn how to win those games and they're close, they're going to be in the playoffs.
But you got a personnel problem because you need about a third of this roster to turn over in the offseason, as most NFL teams do, and you got to replace it with better players.
Yeah, and you know what? The bigger priority, as much as we want to talk about Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett and Alshon Jeffery, Adam Gase, Vic Fangio, what's happening with them? That's the number one thing. It starts really tomorrow, if not today. I mean, Adam Gase will be in the building today, but he's reportedly going to meet with the Eagles, the Browns, and the Dolphins this week, and he might very well not be with the Bears by the end of this week. That's a very real possibility. And then once again, you got to go find Jay Cutler, a new coordinator, his sixth in his time with the Bears. So that's a huge storyline in this offseason. You look at last offseason, I think the biggest improvement they made was in the coaching staff. So are they going to lose those guys? That's something that you have to seriously consider as something that could hold them back from making a better run next year.
The idea that the offensive coordinator made such a splash this year that he's head coaching ready is interesting to me. It just goes to show, I think, that buzz in the NFL means everything, because even though the Bears were improved, they weren't the number one offense in the league, and yet, am I wrong about this? He's top three talked about for a head job now.
Yeah, and he was last year, too. I think what's interesting here is, and this is actually a good thing, what a guy is as a coordinator, the way he coordinates an offense or coordinates a defense isn't necessarily the best qualification for being a head coach. The head coach needs to be able to lead men and get a locker room together. And
like
command.
Mark Trestman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And command. Well, that's a perfect example of the opposite, right? So here he is as a great offensive coordinator, great reputation, as a guy who can put together a fancy offense and put up high-scoring points, but he couldn't command a locker room. So that's really what's more important. And that's why I think that despite average numbers this year for the Bears offense and Bears defense, both Adam Gase and Vic Fangio are in the conversation as head coaching candidates, because you hear what the players are saying, that they really will go and play hard for these coaches up and down the coaching roster. And I think that that's why they're in the mix for head coaching jobs. And I think both of them have a decent chance to be okay head coaches.
We now know the Bears' opponents for next year outside the NFC North, and both home and away. And it's, I guess you look at them and you think, okay, there's some pretty easy teams on there. But teams are going to change between now and the time those teams come into Soldier Field or the Bears go to see them next year. 11th pick in the draft, is that right, Adam? And also Ryan Pace, I guess, is going to speak to the media today at Hallis Hall. What do we expect to hear from him?
Well, let's start with the draft. By losing yesterday, even if it was ugly, that might have been the most beneficial interception Jay Cutler's ever thrown in his career, that third one. Because the Bears will hold the 11th pick instead of the 16th pick. That's five spots better. I completely agree with the idea that you need to learn how to win games, and maybe that carries some momentum in the offseason, but let's be honest. Five spots in the first round of the NFL draft is more valuable than beating the Lions in a meaningless Week 17 game. Coming out and trying to win, I agree with. It's not like you should tank, but the end result does help the Bears. In terms of what what Ryan Pace will say today, it'll be very interesting. This guy hasn't talked to us since training camp, since the Kevin White press conference in Bourbonnais when he announced that Kevin White was going to have surgery and there's a realistic chance he was going to miss the entire season, which he ended up doing. But so obviously the questions are going to be about Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, Alshon Jeffrey. They're probably not going to give us answers, but sometimes you can read between the lines and how they respond to some of these questions and their evaluation of players and get a good idea for what they're thinking here.
Because Alshon Jeffrey appears to be tissue paper at times, is there any chance he wouldn't be on this team next year?
I guess there would be a chance, but they drafted Kevin White to be the other guy across from Alshon Jeffrey, and I just can't see them letting him go without taking a look at what it looks like with both of those guys on the field together. And so, plus you look at what this offense looked like when Alshon wasn't out there. To me, that's worth the $14 or $15 million it's going to cost you to franchise tag him to bring him back for one more year. So I would be shocked if he's not part of the Bears. But look, these guys have proven that if you're not a good fit, if you can't stay on the field, you might not be on this team. So that's something to keep in mind. But I ultimately do think that he'll be brought back, and I think that's the right call.
Oh, the Fox guys were talking yesterday about a dream scenario for the Bears where Calvin Johnson ends up in a Bears uniform next year.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of cap space, but
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Maybe he'll end up being let go by Detroit, but even that seems like why would you let this guy go? But I know it's a cap issue.
It's a cap issue, and he's getting paid a ton of money next year, but still, he's Calvin Johnson. I think he showed you yesterday that he's still pretty darn good. And by the way, with the schedule for next year, it is worth pointing out that the NFC North matches up against the AFC South and the NFC East, which were the two worst divisions in football this year. But, Dave, as you mentioned, teams flip over, they get better, and also the rest of the division gets to play those teams too. So you still got to go out there and win the games and more importantly, win the games in your division. You can't go 1-5. In your own division. You can't lose all three home games against your division, which the Packers proved last night. You can't win the division that way if you're going to do that. And you can't go 1-7 at home. That's what needs to change next year. Win your home games, win your divisional games. That's what's going to get the Bears back in the playoffs.
Better than Dallas?
Better.
Cowboys won no home games this
year.
No,
they won one.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Bears and Cowboys were tied for the worst home record in the NFC.
I saw a headline about an hour ago that said Alabama won more games at Texas Stadium than the Cowboys did. Did Alabama play there twice?
Well, they beat Wisconsin there in the opener, but
yeah, and then they won the Cotton. The Cotton Bowl wouldn't have been there. So, but at any rate,
yeah, it was actually. Yeah, that's a.
Okay, that would be the second one.
Yeah, that would be two.
All right, so there's your reason. Alabama won more games at Texas Stadium than the Cowboys did. Not great.
Well, Northwestern won as many at Soldier Field as the Bears did.
Go Cats!
Look at that.
There you go.
Look at that.
Nice.
Look what you did there.
There you go.
Pulling that out of the fire. Nicely done. All right. Well, listen, take the rest of this half hour off. It's 6:29 now. And they'll see you on TV in a few minutes.
All right. Sounds good.
See you, bud. It's Adam Hogan. Kevin, where would we find Adam's blog?
You can go to WGNradio.com/bears.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Kev, you've been in negotiations with Hamp for the playoffs. Have we gotten extra meat so Hamp will be joining us through the playoffs?
I'm still working on it, but Yes, the contract negotiations are going on, but I'll find a way to come through for him.
And the contracts aren't meat heavy?
They will be meat heavy. Some steak, maybe a little bacon, provisions. Sausage links.
Our friend Hap is sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Here's the deal. Before I pick up the phone with Hap, and Hap and OB and Kaz and their pet boy, Mark Carmen.
What?
All great again yesterday. But I go back to what Hap said early in the season. He said it a million times. He goes, you only get 16 of these. You only get 16. I understand the outcome yesterday, and 6-10 means in a number 11 draft pick instead of a lower draft pick. But you only get 16. Win them all. Get out there and win them all. I cannot be happy about a higher draft pick and another Bears loss. I just can't.
Two things. Hey, and Happy New Year, Steve.
Thanks,
bud. And, you know, as far as the negotiations, make sure that it includes, you know, two of the three or four basic food groups. That would be bacon, lots of bacon. always love bacon. Hey, by the way, nice job with the governor. That was, that was a nice interview. See if you can't get a FEMA package to re-sign Matt Forte while you're working on it. But, you're right. And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I after the game we hear, the blocks are in place. We're moving forward. We've got the core group. Well, the core group, a bunch of them didn't want to play yesterday. You know, I just think there has to be this overriding sense of importance, not because the coach tells you or your neighbor says, hey, why didn't you play yesterday? It's because you want to play for the guy you're suited up with. And we're closer than we were a year ago, but still it was very disappointing yesterday.
I would assume, and this is the part I never understand, if you are gifted and have the privilege of playing professional sports, I would assume, Hap, when those days are over, whether it comes by way of injury or your own decision or whatever the case is, you would love at any point in your life, to the point when you close your eyes for the final time, you'd love to say, give me one more. Let me go back and get one more. And said so many of these chumps don't seem to realize that every game matters not just to us, it matters to them.
Absolutely. Just look at that wonderful movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Frame of mind, your attitude, point of reference, all those things, it really does matter. Look at the way Matt Forte approached the final couple of games, and especially the final game maybe at Soldier Field for him being a Bear yesterday. I mean, it was one of those deals where he was very, what would you call it, melancholy.
Right.
Worried about the, the fact that he may never be back. So, every once in a while you do get a spot where you need to pinch yourself and say, man, I'm lucky. Why don't I, and the Ernie Banks, let's play two. You know, it's like we've got some guys on this team that don't want to play one.
There are a couple things, Hamp, that I think obviously are concerning. Number one, the way the Bears have started games. And again yesterday, letting Detroit go right down the field on them. And also not being able to win at home. And there was a time teams feared coming into Soldier Field. They dreaded. And it wasn't because necessarily there was a time the Bears had a great team, but the Bears had good teams, but teams still hated to come here and play. And obviously that's gone away now when you have, three wins at home in 2 years.
Well, you'd like to say it's because for a lot of years, a ferocious defense. But the bottom line is nobody wants to get beat. And you don't want to go where everybody gets beat. Nobody wants to go to Seattle. Nobody wants to go to New England. But my point is, we have got to get better in so many different ways and different facets of the team. But the first and easiest is get bigger, better, stronger players. You know, everybody knows we're 1-7 at home. That's, abysmal. But we were also 1-5 in the division. We hadn't beat Detroit since Lovey was coaching. Think about that. We have not beat the crummy Detroit Lions since Lovey was here coaching. And we're 4-14 in the division since Lovey was fired. So there's, the glass is half full, half empty. I'm starting to think it's a styrofoam cup with a hole in it, because at some point you're going to have to just say, we got to get a lot better. We can't keep saying, oh, we're a player or two away or this or that. Playing close doesn't cut it. You've got to be able to win football games and preferably win them at home.
You brought up yesterday on the show the five key positions on any NFL team and our lack of having four of them. This has been my sermon for years with the Bears. The Bears, for some reason, the rest of the league has realized I got to have two quarterbacks. A quarterback is a very good chance of being hurt this year. Somehow we got through the whole year with Cutler being healthy, but the rest of the team got hurt. But you look at Denver. Denver finds Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler gets him through four or five games to a point yesterday where he doesn't get it done, and Peyton Manning crawls back on the field like Willis Reed with a 70 Knicks and gets it done. The Bears also have to address the backup quarterback situation. Hamper, why even talk about going any farther?
You're right. Nobody wants to think about, having to go to the backup quarterback, but it's a reality. We had to do it when we went to Seattle and had to play with Jimmy Clausen. Everybody in Chicago knew we had no chance. It'd be great if we could, have a suitable replacement, break glass when you need him, but it doesn't work that way. That's another thing. Right now, Lou Holtz used to say, when you're up to your butt in alligators, it's hard to remember. The first job was to drain the swamp. Well, right now, Ryan Pace is trying to drain the swamp, and that is, get rid of some of these bad players, get good ones, and, unfortunately, the backup quarterback, it's kind of, you got to move him down the line as far as pecking order, because, again, there's a reason why we hadn't beat Detroit since Levy was here. They got better players. We got to find some.
Come back with more with Hamp in a second. And again, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Also want to talk to Hamp about the rest of the league. I mean, what a bizarre year. Falcons started out 5-0. They finished 8-8 out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Jets have their own they have their own fate in their hands yesterday, and they lose to Rex Ryan. Oh,
And the way they did.
Jets fans have to be just wanting to die this morning.
Yeah.
The Patriots don't look good. The Packers look like they're a mess. Who would have called the Vikings at 11-5 and winning the division? A lot of questions out there. Many questions, Dave Ennett.
Many questions.
Many. We'll turn many of them over to the big fella. Dan Hampton in a moment for 747.
Well, I was going to ask you guys today if you could write some bad articles about him. Maybe we could cool him off some, but I don't see that happening. He couldn't be more happy for him, and he's going to go through the process, and we'll see what happens. If he gets a job, then he deserves it. If he doesn't, he's going to come back to us, and we're going to be happy about that too.
Well, look at our little Jay Cutler all grown up. Jay Cutler on the verge of maybe another offensive coordinator, which on paper wouldn't be great. But, as a pro, Hamp, you got to just roll with it and get it done.
Boy, he can go through them, can he?
Yeah.
And this is a good, it's a good ending. The one thing about this is, and, hey, Adam Gase, there's no denying his major impact was on Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler was transformed from a guy that was benched. Think about this: a year ago, benched in the 15th week of the NFL season as the highest paid player in all of football by Mark Trestman.
It's pretty crazy.
To what everybody in town knows is the MVP of the Chicago. Okay, you're an MVP of a 5-11 football team. Well, woohoo! The bottom line is he has proven that he is definitively going to be the leader of this team moving forward. And, I feel really good about it for a lot of reasons. But the best one is moving forward, even without Adam Gase. If Adam Gase is truly going to be, wished away to Detroit or Miami or whatever, I really feel like the lessons, the coaching, the impact of this season will have a profound effect on Cutler moving forward. So, it's not like, oh, without Adam Gase, he's going to go back to, Dr. Turnover and throw the ball away every 5 seconds. So, you know, I would like to see Adam Gase stick around. I'd like to see what this offense could do with some real NFL-caliber receivers. But if he's gone, hey, I don't worry so much about it like a lot of people, because I think Jay Cutler, I hate to say learned his lesson, but he understands the big picture now.
Hamp, give me three players on offense and three players on defense who, in your opinion, are critical to keeping for the Bears for 2016.
Well, first and foremost, the offensive line has to be stabilized. There were, 15, 16 different combinations of these guys throughout the course of the year. Kyle Long is your best player. Kyle Long needs to be at left tackle. Now, it's going to be a transformation. It's going to be a long process. But you don't wait until the week you're opening the season with Green Bay and moving to left tackle. You tell him today, you're going to be the left tackle, and guess what? You're going to be a great one, but you're going to have to, you know, pay a price, work really hard. You get him in place at left tackle. The rest of it, it'll fall in place. Move Matt Slauson back. Yeah, you know, I'm not completely sure that the kid Grasso, the third rounder, will ever be a good enough player at center. I mean, how can you teach him to be big and stronger? He's got to be more powerful. Yesterday, Matt Slauson playing center proved again that, you know, a lot of the reasons why we couldn't run the ball in the middle of the year was because the center was just being overpowered play after play. So there's a lot of questions that have to be addressed on the offensive line. But the first and foremost issue, your money player on the offensive line has got to be left tackle, and it's got to be Kyle Long. Everything else, you can make things work. As far as receiver Alshon Jeffrey, you got to make him the franchise player. You cannot lock him up for 40, 50, 60 million when a guy can, you know, comes to camp, can't practice because of soft tissue injuries. And I know how important it is to, you know, to get the continuity of an offense between the quarterback and receivers, but it was almost laughable. You know, Jay Cutler had to have a meet and greet before the game yesterday to find out who he was going to be throwing it to. You got to have people dependable enough to practice, let alone play. But the last and most important one is Kevin White has got to come back and be what we expected him to be a year ago. You know, and you're saying, well, he should. He had a year off. But guess what? Todd Bell, Al Harris, they took a year off in the prime of their careers and were never the same players. So, you know, I would say those three players are the ones that you've got to say are the linchpin to us moving forward and becoming a winning football team.
Are the Packers and the New England Patriots in serious trouble, or because it's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, will they find a way?
Well, if those two guys can't find a way, then, you know, I mean, everybody has to start questioning some things that you understand about pro football, but it all reverts back to the fact that a good offensive line and a solid running game can keep you out of these you know, hard times at quarterback. Both Green Bay's offensive line is in shambles. The Patriots, their offensive line, they're missing some of their best players. But ultimately, I got to tell you, every 3, 4, 5, 8 years, there's like a sea change, and maybe we're seeing it right now. Maybe some of these guys that we thought were the gold standard, you know, it's kind of come and gone. And all I know is if you're looking at offenses right now, and this is an offensive league, you got to be scared of what potentially the Arizona Cardinals could do to you and the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they've got some guys that are hot at quarterback. They protect them,
right?
And they got targets. So it'll be interesting to see who eventuates. But you're exactly right. Hey, so it's a long ways away from Patriots and Green Bay going in as favorites last year.
All the best, buddy. Thanks for the time, as always. And we continue, and there's never a better Monday than when you hear Hamp going off on the Bears for love in good times and bad. So we'll and great job again yesterday with you and OB and Kaz and your pet boy, Carmen.
Hey, he's part-time bartender too. Hey, listen, thank you, and I want to thank all the great folks at Chevy for having us on and giving us the opportunity. God bless. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, buddy. We'll talk to you later in the week. Couple of minutes before 8. More coming up. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.